consciousness, I am the living proof that the power lies within my words. Vibe, I plan to spread a message as a living brand, empowering the people to restore life, health, and consciousness through media and, most importantly, communication. Thank you.
Grateful to be, have been loved and to be loved now and to be able to love, because that liberates. Love liberates. It doesn't just hold. That's ego. Love liberates. When my son was born, I was 17. My mother had a huge house, 14-room house. At 17, I went to her and said, I'm leaving. She asked me, you're leaving my house? And she had live-in help. I said, yes, I've found a job, and I've got a room with cooking privileges down the hall, and the landlady will be the babysitter. She asked me, you're leaving my house? I said, yes, ma'am, and you're taking the baby? I said, yes. She said, all right, remember this. When you step over my door sill, you've been raised. You know the difference between right and wrong. Do right. Don't let anybody raise you and make you change. And remember this, you can always come home. I went home every time life slammed me down and made me call it uncle. I went home with my baby. My mother never once acted as I told you so. She said, oh, baby's home. Oh, my darling, mama's gonna cook you something. Mother's gonna make this for you. Love. She liberated me to life. She continued to do that. When my son may have been 5 years old, my mother would pick him up all the time and feed him. And I went to her once a month, and she would cook for me. So one day I went to her house and she'd cooked red rice, which I loved. After we finished eating, we walked down the hill and she started across the street. She said, wait a minute, baby. I was 22 years old. She said, wait a minute, baby. You know, I think you're the greatest woman I've ever met. She said, Mary McLeod Bethune, Eleanor Roosevelt, and my mother, you're in that category. Then she said, give me a kiss. I gave her a kiss and I got onto the streetcar. I can remember the way the sun fell on the slats of the wooden seats. I sat there and I thought about her. I thought, suppose she's right. She's intelligent. And she says she's too mean to lie. So suppose I am going to be somebody. She released me. She freed me to say I may have something in me that would be of value. Maybe not just to me. See? That's love. And when she was in her final sickness, I went out to San Francisco. And the doctor said she had three weeks to live. I asked her, would you come to North Carolina? She said, yes. She had emphysema and lung cancer. I brought her to my home. She lived for a year and a half. And when she was finally, in extremis, she was on oxygen and fighting cancer for her life. And I remembered her liberating me. And I said, I hope I'll be able to liberate her. She deserved that from me. She deserved a great daughter, and she got one. So in her last days, I said, now, I understand that some people need permission to go. As I understand it, you may have done what God put you here to do. You were a great worker. You must have been a great lover, because a lot of men, and if I'm not wrong, maybe a couple of women, risked their lives to love you. You were a piss-poor mother of small children, but you were a great, great mother of young adults. And if you need permission to go, I liberate you. I went back to my house, and something said, go back. I was in my pajamas. I jumped in my car and ran, and the nurse said, she's just gone. You see, love liberates. It doesn't bind. Love says, I love you. I love you if you're in China. I love you if you're cross town. I love you if you're in Harlem. I love you. I would like to be near you. I'd like to have your arms around me. I'd like to hear your voice in my ear. But that's not possible now. So I love you. Go.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
And welcome back to another episode of Revive. You know what time it is. It's your girl, POC. I'm extremely happy to be back on these airwaves today. You know me, I am always going to thank the man above for blessing me with this opportunity to speak with you guys, giving me this platform once again to educate and always re-educate you guys. It's extremely, extremely huge blessing. I'm extremely excited once again. It's your girl, POC. This past Saturday was my 25th birthday, so I have so much energy for you guys. I have so much energy for you guys. I had a really great birthday. I can't really tell you everything, but I can definitely tell you I had a great birthday. That was one of the few of the 25th birthdays that I had that I will definitely remember. Trust me. That was definitely a great birthday. I really do appreciate everyone who helped me to celebrate my birthday, who supported me on my birthday, you know, who blessed me and gave me many a blessings on my birthday. I really do appreciate you guys. And today we was blessed with another 24 hours. Make sure you guys go out there and take advantage of the 24 hours that you was blessed to see, because not everybody was blessed to see another 24. So make sure you guys get up and take advantage of what is out there for us. But before we get started on today's episode of Revive, I do always want to reiterate that you guys can call in anytime throughout the show to get your opinions across, your message across, give out your outlook, your perspectives, and things like that on the topics that we are talking about here on Revive. So definitely give us a call at 215-490-9832. Once again, it's 215-490-9832. 490-9832. You can also follow your girl POC at Revive_POC on Twitter. Once again, that is Revive_POC on Twitter. And drum roll, please. Revive finally got a Facebook. The public was screaming like, yo, I don't have a Twitter. I'm like, get a Twitter. Revive talks. We are communicators. We want to talk. But the public was screaming like, yo, you got to get a Facebook. At least if you're not going to get an Instagram, you got to get a Facebook. So you can now follow Revive on Facebook as well at Revive_POC. So once again, you can follow us both on Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. So make sure you guys go click those buttons, those follow buttons. Make sure you follow us because we will always be dropping knowledge and gems for you guys. Always. And you also can spread the word, spread the message that you can listen to Revive live at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn, the website, so tunein.com, or you can download the TuneIn app and just search Time for an Awakening. Once again, search Time for an Awakening, and you will hit me, your girl POC, live every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you guys spread that message. You can tune into Revive, or how you can tune into Revive, I should say. You also can check out pre-recorded episodes on Revive now at cbelifestyles.com. So College Mountain Entertainment hooked us up here at Revive and is now giving us an outlet and another platform to showcase the Revive talent we have going on here in the studio. You can listen to the pre-recorded episodes that we did live in the studio every Wednesday and Sunday on cbelifestyles.com. Once again, that is cbelifestyles.com. Make sure you guys tune in to Revive. We're coming. We're streaming live on all different kind of platforms. Just wait on it because like I tell y'all always, it's only up from here. So thank everyone once again for tuning in and listening to this episode of Revive. Today is, once again, is April 5th, 2017. But before we get started on the show, I definitely want to make a couple huge shout outs. I first want to make a huge airy shout out to the one and only Maya Angelou. And that's why we started the show today off with Lovers of Liberty, because it's amazing how Maya Angelou literally transformed the game. At one point, if you think about it, she was a mute. Like, she honestly was a mute. So it was really extremely hard to even think, how can you become a mute to someone where everyone in the entire world is hanging on to her every word. You know what I mean? So that is extremely, extremely excited. But yesterday was April 4th, which was actually would have been her 89th Earth Day birthday. Isn't that crazy? She would have been 89 as of yesterday. Maya Angelou was an American poet, a civil rights activist. She also published 7 autobiographies, you guys, 7 of them, 3 books of essays, several books on poetry. And she also was credited for a list. It goes extremely far. I looked it up myself, of plays, movies, television shows that she did over a span of 50 years. She was doing this for 50 years in the game. And I actually got a chance to see Maya Angelou. I didn't get to meet her, but I did get to see her. She actually came to Cheney University, I want to say 2012, spring semester. And she did a lecture series with the Keystone Honors Academy we have at Cheney University. And she read some stuff. She spoke a little bit. She engaged with the audience, and she actually did some book signings as well. So I didn't necessarily get to meet her personally, but I definitely was in the room and I felt her energy when I was there at Cheney University. So definitely, definitely, if you don't know who Maya Angelou is, now you're tripping. Go make sure you go do your research. So once again, happy Earth Day birthday to Maya Angelou. She's a pioneer. She changed the game for all of us. Trust me, if it wasn't for her, we would not be able to have this much freedom of speech that we have nowadays, because she said some things that just took everyone on a loop. But I also want to give a shout out to my girl April Ryan. Woo, woo, woo. April Ryan, I'm extremely excited. If you could see my smile, if you could have saw my smile on Monday, you would have gave me the biggest hug ever. So shout out to April Ryan. April Ryan kicked down a door this week. She kicked down the door this week, you guys. April Ryan is a Morgan State graduate. So once again, shout out to all my HBCUs. And she's also a White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks. But guess what now? Guess what? She will now be joining CNN as a commentator. I'm extremely happy for her. This makes me so happy. As a radio personnel, you don't know how much she has truly changed and also impacted the game. She impacted the game in so many different ways by accepting this position at CNN. She really, if you think about it, she was a white, she's one of the very few who in the, you can say, as an African American, that is actually a White House correspondent. But she has two. She's a African American woman. So she's at odds already every time she stepped in her 9-to-5 every day. But just last week, she was being, or tried to be played for a fool, or he tried, I should say, tried to make a mockery out of her. I'm speaking about Secretary Press Sean Spicer. He tried to make a mockery out of her just last week, by telling her, stop shaking your head while I'm talking to you. Like, what? Who was he talking to? Really, who was he talking to? He literally told a grown woman to stop shaking her head while he is talking to her. This is Donald Trump's cabinet, people. I'm talking about Sean Spicer. The press secretary right now. This is Donald Trump's cabinet, you guys. We can't really explain this one, but he definitely tried to make a mockery out of her. But she didn't back down, though. That was the exciting part of that scene. She did not back down at all. And someone at CNN saw that and also saw something in her. And to me, that screams black girl magic all the way. I mean, extremely all the way. You handled your business with your head held up high. And then the next week, you're getting that dream call. Hey, come be with us over here at CNN. That's extremely exciting. For any journalist, that's extremely exciting. For any radio personnel out there, you already know how it feels to go from radio to being on live broadcasting TV, doing exactly what you're doing over the radio. Like, that is extremely exciting. And April Ryan, I am going to support you. And I hope everyone out there supports you as well, because this is huge for all of us African-American women out here who are trying to thrive in this journalism game, because it is very hard to just even be accepted. Not saying we're trying to be accepted, but just even to be looked at as, you know, as an equal counterpart. So I am definitely out here supporting you, and congratulations once again on your accomplishments. That means a lot. And I hope you continue to kick down doors and be that example for us journalists out here who are trying to do exactly what you're doing in an everyday basis, and I appreciate you once again. And last but not least, I have to recognize here on Revive that yesterday was April 4th as well, which was the 49th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. So I just had to bring that up. All I'm saying is I didn't see it on any media coverage at all. It wasn't on a banner on Google's front page, because to me, I seem like Google, every 5 minutes when there's some kind of message or when there's a holiday, Google changes their banner on their front page. But when it came to the assassination of Martin Luther King, it was no media coverage at all. And it just really makes me think. It really makes me think, like, why in the beginning of the year is so much hype surrounded about MLK? And it's like, okay, so I thought to myself, I'm like, maybe because January is his birthday and then February is Black History Month. But then for the next 10 months, you don't hear anything else about MLK, and then not to just bring it up, but Black History Month either. And it just really makes me wonder and question, like, so we're not going to talk about the assassination? We're not going to educate the youth or the people about how he was assassinated, who assassinated him, why he was assassinated, the speech he made prior to his assassination? You know what I mean? So that just really made me think. And I didn't see anything in the media, in the mass media, I should say, or the mainstream media, about Martin Luther King's assassination, which happened on April 4th, which was yesterday. So I, here on Revive, because we don't do fake news, or we don't pander to a certain audience or a community. So what we're doing here on Revive, we're going to address it. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, to make all you guys wonder, because I'm thinking myself. So I know you guys have some kind of questions as well, as to why are we not going to address Martin Luther King's assassination. You know, we address when John F. Kennedy was assassinated and things like that. So why are we not doing the same for MLK, who was a civil rights leader, where, you know, you guys are going to stamp his birthday and make it a national holiday? So why not do the exact same thing that you're doing for a president, for Martin Luther King? Because he was our leader. You know what I mean? He could have been our president one day, but, you know, he was assassinated. So I want to understand why, and I want to bring these questions up because I want you guys to understand why too. And I want to challenge people out there who don't necessarily have the answer to this question, but they can bring forth some knowledge that we may not know at this time. So that really, really, you know, just had me questioning. Yo, True Heart, how you feel about it? True Heart's also in the building with me today, as always, in the studio with me as well, helping me facilitate these conversations that we do have here on Revive. But True Heart, how do you feel about it? Like, when it comes to that situation, why do you think they don't bring that to the forefront when it comes to the assassination of Martin Luther King? That's not to say we want to celebrate, you know, him being assassinated, but we do want to celebrate the life of him, you know what I mean? And it doesn't necessarily always have to fall on someone's birthday to celebrate the life of a person. So I just want to understand. And I mean, you know, may not have the questions, but I just want to know what you think on it.
I think Google and all the platforms out there, it really wasn't publicized. It wasn't trending on Twitter or anything of that nature. And I definitely don't think this administration would say anything about it. But, I mean, this might sound like a conspiracy, but I do think that the U.S. government had a hand in the assassination of Martin Luther King. So I would definitely think that, honestly, they're not necessarily going to bring that to the forefront, but I do think that it's important to talk about it. If we don't have these conversations, then the generation before us isn't going to know.
That makes sense, too. That makes a lot of sense. And that's why we want to bring forth the topic that we're talking about today, which is STEM 360, you guys. Today's show is entitled STEM 360. We will be discussing the influence science, technology, and engineering and math has on our different communities. And when you say that, we have to educate ourselves. You know what I mean? And by us educating ourselves in these subjects such as science, technology, engineering, and math, I feel as though our communities can do a lot of different things. I feel like we can start a lot of different movements through the understanding of science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM. But the 360 part of it is STEAM. We want to add an A on that. We want to incorporate art at the same time. So we now want to transform it from science, technology, engineering to science, technology, engineering, art, and math. You know what I mean? Because it brings forth everything that everyone has inside of them, if that makes sense. So I'm extremely excited to have the guests on the show today to help facilitate this conversation. I really think it's going to be a great show for you guys today. I really want you guys to stay tuned. We're going to be dropping a lot of different knowledge on you today, so make sure you guys stay tuned. We have a lot of different people from a lot of different places coming forth and explaining to you guys how they contribute to STEM by what they do in their everyday lives. And I really think that this will be something that all of us can impact from, or all of us can start a movement from, once we get the knowledge that we're looking for. So I'm really excited to have today's guest on the show. We are going to go to a small commercial break. Right at the commercial break, we will be introducing our guest today and also just reiterating exactly what STEM is. So make sure you guys stay tuned to Revive. Once again, just let everybody know that you can tune in to Revive Live at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, it's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn app, or just go to TuneIn.com and search Time for an Awakening. We'll be right back after this small commercial break.
Yes, my raps are filled with rage.
One of these days, we gotta bust back for the homies.
You have to be logical. You know, if I know that in this hotel room, they have food every day, and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see, like, them throwing salami all over the, I mean, just like throwing food around, but they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day. I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to We hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, we're breaking out the door. And after years, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with civil rights movement. We was asking, you know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. I'm full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
When you look at the future, there's also the argument made that this is something that goes with your philosophy today. Get out of cash and get into assets, because we don't know what's going to happen to the dollar.
Well, cash is always a bad investment. Yes. I mean, when people said cash is king a year ago, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, cash wasn't producing anything, and it was sure to go down in value over time. And then you always want to be sure you have enough. I mean, it's like oxygen. You want to be sure it's around, you know, but you don't need to have excessive amounts of it around. And cash, we will always have enough cash around. But anytime we have surplus cash around, I'm unhappy. I mean, I would much rather have good businesses than cash. And we found a chance in the last year or thereabouts to deploy. We came in with something over $40 billion of cash, and we've got about $20 billion now, and we've had some earnings. So we put a lot of cash to work, and I like that. No, I'd much rather own a good business than have cash.
And it is a hedge against the dollar?
Well, you can say all assets are a hedge against the dollar. I mean, all you know is that the dollar is going to be worthless 10, 20, 30 years from now. I say worthless, not worthless.
Right.
You want to watch that. But it will be, you know, and that's true of almost every currency that I can think of. The question is how much it depreciates in value. But cash is not a place.
What's this? Cruise drops out. Bye, Felicia. Oh, wait. That means we're stuck with Trump now. So ratchet. Hey, what do you think, Abe? Me too. Hey, Bay. You gotta come see this. Hey, who's there? Joseph Robinette Biden. You better not be playing with the lights.
Mr. President, I come to you on behalf of my generation to talk to you about this little plant situation. See, a lot of politicians hate it, but I'm gonna break it down and demonstrate to you why it's not as bad as they make it sound. See, you're the president that I believe can handle this. Heck, your campaign slogan was, yes, we cannabis. Just kidding, but seriously, let's examine this subject truthfully, dog. Look, see, you talk constitutional law at Harvard, right? In 96, well, you should know the Declaration of Independence was drafted out of hemp. So was the flag. So were the sails that pushed our ships on the path to the colonies. So was the fuel used for Henry Ford's Model T. So in a sense, you could say that pot has actually driven American history.
Please, it makes you lazy and underachieved.
But how can that be when some of the most successful people smoke weed? From Walt Disney to Milton Fried. From Stephen King to Steve Jobs. The apple didn't fall from the tree. You get it? Steve Jobs, Apple, trees, Jobs created the Apple computer, high off weed. See, people believe that this plan is sinful. But let's go back in time and find out exactly where these beliefs came from. Because before the 1930s, you could blaze up. But after the 1930s, things changed up. Because that's when President Hoover commissioned a man named Harry J. Anslinger as head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. His middle name's ironic because he was the main guy attempting to demonize.
The greats think differently. The greats see differently, right? The greats have a different worldview. The greats, they approach the game in a totally different way. So I need you to do me a huge favor. I need you to think about what you're thinking about when your effort is low. Because if you can get this, if you can get this, you can get any success you want in life. You can have anything you want in life if you can get this. The next time you give a low effort, right? You give it 70% or 50% or 30%. I want you to think about what you're thinking about when your effort is low. If your effort is low, you're probably not thinking about the opportunity. You're probably thinking about the obligation. And when you think about E.T., how you stay pumped up. E.T.'s how you stay on fire. E.T., how you always driven, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, even in the midst of your haters, when people try to break you and tear you down. E.T., how you stay strong. I keep thinking about the opportunity. Every single day, I'm thinking about the opportunity, and I'm not looking at this thing as an obligation. I'm not looking at this thing as something that I have to do or that I'm forced to do, right? Something that somebody's making me do. Every time I wake up, I'm thinking, I'm alive, baby. This is the day. This is an opportunity. If you want what you've never had before, if you want to do what you've never done before, if you want to be what you've never been before, change your mentality. And I want you to see that effort goes up when you look at it as, I got an opportunity of a lifetime. But you should be excited about the fact that you have an opportunity.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC coming to you live from the beautiful city of Philadelphia. I'm really excited once again to be back on the airwaves today. I took another day off. I feel like every time I take a day off of Revive, my life is just not the same. So I'm extremely happy to be back here live with you guys today. We also will be back live on Sunday. We're going a full week this week, you guys. We're going a full week this week. I'm done traveling for a little bit. We're going a full week this week. Make sure you guys call in at 215-490-9832. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, make sure you guys call in. Don't be scared. We don't bite over here. We want to engage with you guys. Once again, this show is a platform for you guys as well as it is for me to be able to express myself and bring back unity amongst the power of communication. It's extremely, extremely important that we understand how important communication actually really is in our everyday lives. Once again, you can follow me, your girl POC, on Twitter and also Facebook at Revive_POC. Yes, I did say Facebook. We now have a Facebook. You can follow us at Revive_POC on both sites, Twitter and also Facebook. But I do want to get back to the show. Once again, I'm just going to reiterate, today's show is entitled STEM 360. We will be discussing the influence science, technology, engineering, and math has on our communities. We want you guys to be a part of the conversation as we converse with many different leaders in STEM, highlighting their reasoning for pursuing the career and how important it is that we understand what STEM actually is. Also, the importance of representation in STEM and also the adversity that they may face at times in the field. So, yes, please join us. We're asking you guys to join us in this hot topic as we discuss what actually STEM is. But the 360 point of it is that we are going to add an A today. Today, we're going to turn it into STEAM. Today, we're going to add science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Because it's important that we implement art in everything that we do. A lot of us out here have these creative minds, but people don't support the artists. So that's what we want to do here in Revive. We want to make sure that we're supporting each and every individual out there and a passion that they may have. Because I have a lot of artists who are friends, but they don't necessarily have the support system behind them to believe in the art that they actually do, whether it's writing, reading. I said reading. Whether it's writing. Well, reading could be an art technically, but writing, creating movies, creating poems, poetry, videos, DVDs, anything, CDs, just playing. But yes, we want to always just make sure that, you know, we incorporate everyone out there who's listening to Revive when it comes to being part of the platform always. So we just want to make sure that we do that here on Revive. So that's why we're bringing you STEM 360 today, because we definitely want to add that A for all the artists out there, because we support you today. And once again, this show is going to be an open forum so we can hear all perspectives, so all perspectives can be heard through great conversation. So make sure you guys tune in once again, because I really do feel like this will be a great conversation. But I do want to break, before we, you know, bring the guest on, I do want to break down what exactly STEM is, because some people don't even actually know what that is. So I did say it prior to, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. That is the four components that make up, you know, the acronym of STEM. But STEM is actually a curriculum-based idea of educating students in four different subjects, such as science, technology, engineering, and math, in an integrated way. So they pretty much want to integrate all of the subjects into one. Rather than teach the four subjects separately, you want to integrate them all into one to make it a cohesive learning style for real world applications. And I actually love it. And I wish when I was in, you know, K through 12, I actually had someone out there who pushed me in the right direction of, you know, either science, technology, engineering, and math, because I feel like I would know more than what I know now. You know what I mean? And in my youth, I maybe could have done something different and better. Not saying what I'm doing now is not good, but I'm saying I could have done something different and better with the skills that I have. I can maybe build my own computer to do my own radio show. I can build my own radio to have my own radio show. So that's extremely important that we understand that. But also, Trueheart is going to knock down some facts as well on exactly what STEM is. Also, she's going to explain to us some key points that the Obama administration did for the STEM project as well before he left office that I feel as though is very impactful for our everyday lives as brown and colored people, I should say, as colored people. He did extremely well. So I would definitely give Barack Obama some points when it comes to the STEM project that he implemented back in 2011. Don't quote me, but I really think it was 2011 when he implemented the STEM project into all public and private schools. So Trueheart, I do want you to go ahead and acknowledge what President
Obama did his thing in office. The administration bring every American deserves access for and secure 1 million in STEM. They president's campaign commitments. Our nation is 50% of the way towards achieving the goal of the president set in 2011. One of the initiatives was preparing 100,000 new math and science teachers by 2021. And honestly, we're in 2017, so that's right around the corner. And a historic 25,000 additional engineers are graduating yearly compared to when President Obama took office. STEM education has incorporated into the priorities of the Department of Education, as illustrated by the administration's signature Race to the Top competition. This White House has announced more than 350 commitments from college and university leadership and others to provide pathways for underrepresented students to attain STEM degrees. President Obama has started traditions such as the White House Science Fair to honor young people using science, technology, engineering, and mathematics to improve their communities around the world. And in his final budget, he announced that he was sustaining this impressive track record with an investment of $3.0 billion across 14 federal agencies for dedicated STEM education programs. President Obama honestly left his mark in more ways than one, but I know the trajectory of his presidency, this is definitely a well done and thought out plan. Hopefully students, teachers, everyone in the STEM field will continue to make their mark and continue to pursue all the things. So, well done, Obama.
I agree with you. Obama is someone who definitely did his thing in the White House this past 8 years. He definitely held it down for us, and especially when it comes to the STEM program, it really took off, and like you said, in enormous amount of numbers, and that's exactly what we need and also looking for. We also have all of our guests here today online as well, so we are going to start this conversation, and True Heart is going to help facilitate this conversation by introducing each guest one by one to just allow you guys out there to know exactly who they are and what they do before we start this conversation. So, True Heart, who do we have first coming onto the line?
First up, we have Christina Joy Thomas. Christina Joy Thomas is a current student at Westchester University. She's a junior and is a liberal arts major. And she also has minors in peace and conflict studies and biology. She aspires to become a cardiothoracic surgeon and hopefully become a physician with Doctors Without Borders. She also serves as the treasurer of Student National Medical Association and MAPS, which is Minority Association of Pre-Med Students, which is the chapter at Westchester University. That is Christina Thomas. Christina, are you there? Okay, one moment while we get Christina on the line here. Our next guest that we have is Limbin Brown, who is a graduate from Drexel University. He has a Bachelor's of Science in Architectural Engineering. Limbin Image Brown is the founder of the Swaliga Foundation, with the mission of motivating young people to
joining
find
conference
their
now.
True passion.
This conference is being recorded by the organizer.
Swaliga's mission is to inspire the young people who need us the most to strive for success by delivering STEAM through creative expression, vibrant youthful mentors, and community collaboration as a bridge for lasting educational improvement. Our third guest that we have is Cordero Davis. Cordero Davis has always been motivated and empowered through helping others reach their fullest potential. He has participated in organizations like DECA, Student Government, Chamber of Commerce, Upward Bound, PRSA, the NAACP, and he served as the face of his HBCU and was with many, many organizations.
You guys, we see all of you on the line. We do thank you for your participation. We're putting you on a hold for a reason. I'm sorry that you keep hearing things in the background. I'm speaking to my guests right now. So just give us 1 second as we just introduce everyone who's coming into the conversation today. We'll get right to you in this actual conversation. I'm excited that you guys are energized and ready to get on the mic and start speaking to the listening audience. But we want to make sure that everyone is introduced to the listening audience today. So True Heart is going to continue to read. You guys' bio, so listen, audience, know exactly who you are. And it's funny because we just got a tweet as well, and I just said this last week, she sounds like a commercial, but y'all, she really not put on the front. That's just how she reads. When she does sound like a commercial, but she is going to get back to reading the bios for you guys. We're going to get into the conversation in about 1 minute. Stay tuned.
I was introducing Cordero Davis, so back at it. So Cordero is engaged. He has engaged, produced, and impacted thousands globally through professional development, leadership empowerment, and brand engagement. After college, he lived in Shanghai, China, where he built curriculum for boarding schools and traveled to over 15 countries. Most recently, he relocated to the Silicon Valley and started his career in the technical recruiting world. He has assisted major brands such as Airbnb, Facebook, and now Indeed.com. He is currently creating a career coaching app to help others champion their professional journey. And our fourth guest is such a jam-packed show today. I'm so excited. We have Benu Bird, who is an emerging hip-hop artist from D.C., Washington, D.C., Her arrival on the music scene is aligned with several movements going on right now, such as the women's movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, and many other operations. Her music echoes the social state of the nation, and her music proves to be just as innovative as this generation. She brings raw talent, integrity, and is a unique queer feminist perspective to hip-hop. POC is such a jam-packed show tonight. I just can't wait until we get to it.
All right, so we're going to let Christine introduce herself as well. So, Christina, go out there and let the people know exactly who you are and what you do. Welcome to the show, Christina. We're excited to have you on the show today.
Aloha. You guys can call me Bina. Hey.
Bina. All right, Bina. Okay.
Hi, Bina.
Sorry, I'm kind of out of breath. Hey, Fee. I'm a junior at Westchester, currently a liberal arts major, minoring in biology and peace and conflict. Excuse me. Currently studying to become a cardiothoracic surgeon. I take my MCAT this December 2017. Woo, woo.
Awesome. Wish you luck.
Yeah, and hopefully get accepted into the University of Washington, Toledo. So hopefully cross the fingers.
Awesome.
I'm also treasurer of my MAP chapter at Westchester, running for vice president next week. So cross fingers.
We definitely will.
And I guess that's it so far. Still a youngin. So.
Thank you. We're going to put you on a brief hold, and we're going to let the other guests introduce themselves as well.
Okay.
And Cordero, you're on the phone as well. I'm excited to have you on the phone because you're on the West Coast. And this is my first time having a West Coast guest on the show. So it's extremely excited with the time difference and everything. But I do want you to let the listening audience know exactly who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Cordero Davis. I'm currently a technical recruiter for Indeed.com. I'm very passionate about helping the world work, and Indeed mission is to help the world, whole world work. And so excited to be on the show, and of course I dibble and dab in a lot of other areas too, but ultimately my goal is to, you know, create my own app someday, and currently working on that. So look out for that, to help more minorities move into the tech world.
Hint, hint, Revive needs an app. That's all I'm saying. But we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. I'm going to introduce the rest of the guests. Okay, Cordell?
Thanks.
And up next, we also have Bird as well on the line as well. So, Bird, I would like for you to introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about yourself, and also tell them what you actually do.
Bird. Awesome. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear now, yes.
Beautiful. Yeah, so my name is Shanae Bird, a.k.a. the Banu Bird. I'm a hip-hop artist. I'm an educator, and also I'm a philanthropist here in Washington, D.C. And so what I do is I work alongside the Swaliga Foundation, which is a STEAM education nonprofit organization where we use the arts to engage youth in STEM. And so, yeah, I'm an artist and a ambassador for the Swaliga Foundation.
That's exciting. And that's why I was excited to have you on the show today, because you bring the A to the STEAM. You bring that art side that we wanted to bring to the table today here on Revive. So I'm extremely excited to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
And we have one last guest to introduce as well. His name is Limden, but he goes by the name of Image. So, Image, you are definitely on the line today with your girl POC. I want you to introduce yourself and also tell him exactly what you do as well. Image, are
Hello,
you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear now. Yes, I can.
Hey, how you doing, POC? Thank you for having me, first of all. I go by the name of Image. That's IMAG. I'm a music artist from Washington, D.C. I'm also an educator. I work very closely with the Banu Bird, who you just heard from. I'm the CEO of the Swaliga Foundation, and definitely a champion for the power of the arts and the impact it can have on education. So as she said, what we do is use the arts to kind of bridge the gap for a lot of young people that are looking to learn about STEM subjects.
That's awesome. So I am going to start the show off with you because you were the last guest. So when it comes to the Swaliga Foundation, am I saying that correctly?
Yes, okay. Swaliga.
So when it comes to the Swaliga Foundation, can you explain to the people what it, that actually is, and also why did you start the movement that you started there in D.C.?
So briefly, my background, I went to Drexel University, which is in Philly. Shout out to everybody listening in Philly right now, too, by the way. And when I came back to D.C., I saw, like, the disparity between, you know, test scores and young people in our communities that are struggling in math and science. And me not being, like, I got a degree in architectural engineering, but I wasn't, you know, the best student or, you know, it wasn't because I was learning differently. It was because of my musical influences. So what I tried to do was figure out a way to kind of help bridge the gap by using the arts and kind of introducing new ways to learn about, you know, traditional things. So I founded the Swaliga Foundation in 2012 with the mission of helping young people to find their passion, because at the root of it, no matter what you're learning, if you're able to tap into something that you're really passionate about, it makes it that much easier to retain new information and to discover new things. And that's what Swaliga means, essentially. The word is derived from St. Martin, and our mission is to help young people find their passion. And we do that through a variety of ways, but most specifically with working with art ambassadors from around the world that are able to use their art form and their creativity to kind of show the connections between science, tech, engineering, and math, and more specifically, the pathways. There's a lot of different career pathways that our young people are unaware of, as you mentioned, and a lot of jobs that don't even exist yet, that we try to highlight and show them different things that they can do moving forward.
Thank you. And that's a very interesting point that you made. And I kind of believe that myself. When it comes to the arts, we have to incorporate that, because that's where a lot of kids are falling behind. You know what I mean? Because they have these artists mindsets, but at the same time in the classroom, no one is focusing on the arts. So that's why I love your foundation and what you're actually doing. And that's why I'm excited once again to have you on the show as well. So I thank you for being on the Revive show today. But I am going to put you on a brief hold, and I'm going to ask another guest a quick question. Cordero, when it comes to you, and you're on the pretty much on the engineering side, and that's why I was extremely happy to have you on the show as well. When it comes to engineering, what actually made you want to dabble into engineering as well?
Funny thing is, I walked into my first job that was actually at Airbnb, and I saw no color.
Awesome.
I was the only person in the room with a little bit of color in me, and that was a lot of color. It ended up actually being too much color, and so that really motivated me to stay in this field. Ultimately, I love to teach. I love to coach. I love to train. That's truly my passion. I love to be in front of the classroom, in front of people. It doesn't matter. But once I returned from China, I felt that it was important for me to do something truly impactful for my community that was a lot larger than me. And breaking the barriers in tech to be a Black male that sometimes has to lead in these corporations is impactful within itself. And, you know, as I sit and I heard the other guest, he talked about, you know, being in the class and, you know, how a lot of minority Black students specifically struggle with math and science. Like, I was one of those people. You know, I was good at English and speaking and other things that were creative, but I wasn't good at math, you know. And for me to actually be able to sit in front of a desk with colleagues that are of, you know, many other races besides mine makes me feel like I am creating a larger impact in the world and not just in America.
I agree with you on that. And as you say America, I'm thinking back what you just said about China. So what did you actually do in China? Can you let the listening audience know what you actually did while you were out there?
Yeah, so I actually worked for the government for international boarding schools where myself and a team of other fellow Americans built curriculum for these schools in Shanghai, China, Hong Kong, and Singapore.
Awesome. And how was your experience out there?
It was different. It was different, but fun. I would say it was life-changing to describe it best. The biggest part of it was the fact that, you know, I had no one around like me. Ultimately, my team, they were all Caucasian. So that, of course, made me feel outside with itself. But ultimately, I had no one there to understand me. The Chinese culture, they work totally different. They're very intrusive, and they handle administrative things very differently. Mm-hmm. So I would have to sometimes come out of my shell to help them understand how serious I was about being there and not leaving, because I felt that when they are challenged, they leave. But when we're challenged, we stay and we find a way to make it work and try to get through those struggles, you know. And so that was really important for me there. But on the other hand, an outlet for me was travel. I got to travel to these many different countries. Although sometimes I would get pulled over in restaurants and people want to take pictures and videos. It would be crazy. But I learned to accept it and accept the lesson and the education that I was providing while traveling, which was just being there and being of color.
And that's awesome. You sound like you had an experience. That's like a testimony within itself. But Bird, when it comes to you, you are the art, you are the hip hop to this conversation. So when it comes to you, how do you feel as though that your movement of what you're doing is influencing that STEM project or that STEM culture?
So I work in an after school arts program where we're constantly exploring music in, you know, a variety of different ways. And I just think really the creativity and the innovation that is necessary to, you know, to create music and to make art in general is the same type of mentality really that allows our students to be creative problem solvers. And I think essentially that's what's really going to push our next generation to be the leaders, you know, of the future, is to continue to foster that that creative energy and that creative problem solving, you know, the way that we're able to use the arts to open up that side of your mind to really think outside of the box. And I think that's what's really going to push, yeah, this next generation to be, you know, leaders of their peers.
And how are you doing that with your music? How are you, by you adding that eight and creating it to STEAM now, how are you doing that with your music?
So, for instance, we, through the Swaliga Foundation, we do quite a few different workshops throughout the week, even on weekends, where we're using the arts and teaching students about sound engineering and sound waves and the science behind that. We're teaching them about the engineering design process. We're putting them in situations where they have to solve real-world problems using science, using technology, and using creativity. We might even teach them the scientific method or the problem-solving method through a song with some type of rhythm with it. We understand that music is a universal language. And basically, yeah, we use that as a tool to really open up their creativity, their creative thinking and problem-solving skills, and to help them retain some of that information with the science and tech aspect of it that they may not get traditionally in a traditional classroom setting. So I think the after-school setting gives us a lot more flexibility to be able to be a little more innovative and creative with the way that we're teaching and engaging our young people.
That's all. That sounds awesome. I got to go check out the Swaliga Foundation. I think they in D.C. doing big things. But Bina, when it comes to you, you're actually still a student. So you're still a student within the STEAM environment. So when it comes to you, as you're being a student and, in, you know, trying to get to the next level of being the scientist, what's your expectations of coming out, you know, of being the S, being that scientist?
My expectation is to divide and conquer. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but in my classroom setting, I'm always that one female. If not, there's a second female in the class, and I'm dominated by white cisgendered men, and you constantly have to be on your toes. You constantly have to know the answer and ask questions and speak up. You have to let it be known that you're interested in this, otherwise nobody looks out for you but you. Like, I have to constantly remind my advisors that, yes, I want to do this. No, I don't want to do nursing. No demeaning towards it, but it's just that's not my area of focus. I intend on becoming a cardiothoracic surgeon. So with that being said, I'm going to take that initiative. I want to go to med school. I want to be a better person for myself and then my community, because how many Black surgeons can we actually say we know? How many Black physicians can we say are in our community that actually want to help towards the community? So
Yeah, because we're no longer claiming Ben Carson, so you the next one up.
We no longer not politically, him. But yeah, surgically, yeah.
Okay, so then my question to you now is, so how do you stay motivated through all that adversity? How do you stay motivated?
Like I was speaking to Althea earlier, her higher level communication has really been helping me. I have affirmations. I remind myself what my purpose is. Like before wanting to become a surgeon, I was so sure because of my dictation being in debate that I wanted to be a corporate attorney, and that was for me. And then a family friend had to go into surgery, and she got a bicuspid aortic valve surgery, and I got to watch it from the observatory, and it was amazing. And I was like, I want to be able to do that. And every day, like, I have pictures all over my wall. I have it in my agenda and my planner. I remind myself that this is what I want to do, and nobody's going to want it but me. So it helps. Having a foundation, having a faith base behind it.
And that makes sense, because that definitely makes sense. You got to keep your faith strong in order to stay motivated, because I do the exact same thing for me. But, Cordero, when it comes to you, and it comes to, you know, keep going, how do you stay motivated? I want to know, how do you stay motivated as well? Because you spoke about adversity when you said, you know, you were always the minority in the room when you stepped in the office every day. So how did you stay motivated?
The first two things I would say are really important when faced with adversities in a space that you feel like you should be successful in or want to be successful in, is surrounding yourself around others who feel the same way. Mm-hmm. So I have several mentors that work for other major brands. They're not internal mentors, but I have a main mentor that works for Gap, and mentor that works for Facebook, and mentors that work for several other, you know, brands where they're like the only blacks on their team as well. Mm-hmm. And they've had more experience than I have because I'm pretty junior in my career. But through that experience, I'm able to share different obstacles that come my way, and they help me find a way to maneuver through them to continue to grow in my role. Two, I would say dive into projects that will help find solutions to the problem and not just be a part of the problem. Mm. So I of who I truly am and see how I can gravitate towards others who may not just be educated about what's going on in the tech world. So I'm currently site lead for our Generation Next organization, which is an internal employee resource group at Indeed. And what our mission is to bring light to students, 8th grade to 12th grade, even some in college, about career directions that they can go in the tech world. And then two, our next direction is to educate and train those senior employees who've been laid off from companies they work for 20 and 30 years, and teach them how to use a computer, teach them how to code, and teach them different things where they can be a part of the experience as well and not be on the outside of it. And so through this, I'm able to give back and bring some light to the situation, because who knows how many hires we can get out of that education and training. The second thing that I do is I focus a lot on my own business. What I want to do, 3 to 4 years from now, is to be able to not go into an office and just be able to work from a beach in Thailand or whatever the case may be. That's my dream. And so I put a lot of energy into that as well. And I speak to university students at least 2 to 3 times a year. I go out to elementary schools and, you know, just talk about careers in technology with students who are, you know, currently in STEM schools. And some things, strategies that we do is we invite students to campus so they can get a feel of how it feels to work in a company that feeds you 3 meals a day, where you have these big cafeterias where you can get all these drinks and food and snacks. And we all have our own little desk setup and just so many other things that, you know, old school corporate don't possess anymore, have never possessed, that we possess in tech companies, that a lot of people just truly don't understand. I had a colleague bring their parents to work last week, and the mom started crying because she said, I understand why you don't really have time for me anymore. It's because this place takes such good care of you, you know. And and that's just the feel of how it changes your life to work in an environment like that. And I try to enlighten and encourage and shed light on the opportunities that are in tech and help students, you know, build a career path or educational path so that they can be a part of it. And therefore, I won't be alone anymore.
And the one thing that stuck out to me from what you were saying is that is exactly true. When it comes to like the older generation in the tech world, all they really do is just kick them out because they can't really fire them. So they have, you know, kick them out on early retirement because they don't want to pay those salaries anymore. And they can get these young kids coming in and pay them half of the salary that they were paying the older people. So I definitely see that myself. And I'm not even in the tech world, but I definitely see that point that you made. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. True.
And then when it comes to you, Image, Cordero talked about being a role model. And when it comes to the Swaliga Foundation, you guys are role models. So how important is the role model within you actually means to your foundation and what you're trying to do?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I want to go back to the first question for a second, too. You asked what keeps me motivated.
I think what I tell the
young people that I work with all the time is the importance of knowing your purpose. I think that kind of helps get rid of a lot of the distractions, especially for somebody like myself that works with a lot of young people. I see my students all the time, you know what I'm saying, whether I'm walking down the street in D.C. or whether I'm in a school or I just show up somewhere. So I always have to make sure I'm mindful of that and that I'm walking in my purpose and staying on task because they're always watching. Young people, they don't miss anything. So it's important. And I think what we really need is for a lot of these other entertainers and public figures to kind of be more aware of that as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of times the buck gets passed like, oh, it's up to the parents. It's up to their teachers. And that's all very true. But we have a responsibility as well, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that we're doing the things that we're supposed to do so that the next generation gets to see that and they get to know what a positive role model looks like.
I agree with you 100%. You have to know your purpose and walk in your purpose and get out your own way. So I definitely agree with you on that one. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the mentoring side of you, though, how important is that mentorship within your organization?
So I'm glad you asked because that's a key part of what we do. A lot of times when I'm working with a new group, first I usually let them hear my music or if they've heard my music before we talk about it, but I make sure I highlight the fact that I'm an engineer as well, because what I realize is that they don't get to see a lot of engineers and people that work in the tech field on a day-to-day basis. We kind of take that for granted, but a lot of these things, they're just shown to them in a book or somebody says, oh yeah, you could be a doctor, you could be an engineer. And then you see a picture of it on the internet and it looks nothing like them. So it's hard for them to really visualize that. And that's what mentorship does. Not only does it let them kind of see and touch and talk and ask questions about something that they could do in the future, but it makes it real for them. And I think another important thing, mentorship happens in other communities, but in Black communities, you don't see it as much. You don't see somebody talking to the younger guys about how to shake hands and look somebody in the eye when you're talking to them, or how to dress when you're going to an interview to talk to this person, or how there's a time and a place to have certain conversations. It's little things that we kind of take for granted that makes mentorship so important. And with the Swaliga Foundation, especially linking with so many artists and educators, we're always looking to connect with people, especially people who have a passion for the youth, because they're the ones that are able to be that voice and to kind of communicate with the next generation on a different level and show them the right way.
That sounds awesome. I really need to check out the Swaliga Foundation. And Bert, when it comes to you, how do you necessarily stay motivated through everything that you do and the adversity that you may face as being a woman in the industry? How do you stay motivated?
Man, honestly, you know, I just put my album out last week, and when I was creating the album and just navigating the entertainment business, just, I don't know, on an everyday basis, honestly, just being in the skin that I'm in, it can become daunting where you have a lot of gender roles and like stereotypes and, you know, kind of these societal norms that we're all accustomed to, but that doesn't necessarily always fit with my lifestyle. And so I think what motivates me, honestly, is being a role model for these kids, knowing that the next generation actually looks up to me. And the fact that I can walk down the street or make music and talk about certain content in my music or have certain conversations with people and just being able to speak on these issues freely and just being in the skin that I'm in and being comfortable just being who I am and being who you are. And I think God still blesses me regardless of what other people think my lifestyle should be or whether I should be condemned for the things that I talk about or the way that I am or who I am. You know, the thing that keeps me going is like, man, I have hundreds of thousands of kids who I work with on a daily basis with the Sitar Art Center, with the Swaliga Foundation, you know, on social media, just me being a public figure. Me being myself and knowing that these kids depend on me to be that example is what keeps me motivated. And the fact that I can put a message in my music and people actually hear it, they get it, they listen to it, they understand it, it helps give them a different perspective. I think a perspective, honestly, that hasn't really had a voice yet in music. And I think the voice, the queer feminist perspective is something unique that I bring to the table. And it just really gives people, it's not forcing a person to be a certain way or to act a certain way or live a certain lifestyle, but it just allows people to just be more comfortable in their own skin if they know that I can be myself at all times too. So it's a mutual exchange of just of energy. It's a mutual exchange of positivity and motivation and encouragement to just be who you are no matter what. And even if you don't know exactly what that is, you know, we have all these different outlets through, the arts, through STEM education, you know, through STEAM education that allows young people to explore who they are and explore what they want to do and find their passion and walk in their purpose, you know, with faith and with humility and with confidence.
And that's an interesting point that you made. And I agree with everything you said. It's important that we make impacts in the youth's lives today. They're the next generation up. We have to educate them and also re-educate them on everything that's going on out here. So I definitely agree with that. But we do have to take a quick commercial break here at Revive. We got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Make sure you guys stay tuned to this edition of Revive STEM 360. We have a plethora of intelligent guests on right now, dropping some jewels and knowledge for you guys. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Make sure you spread the word that you can listen to Revive live at timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to the TuneIn app or directly to tunein.com and just search timeforanawakening.com. And we'll be live right on air. It's your girl POC. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
When I was only 6 years old, my mom started smoking. I really didn't like it. When I was 12, I began inhaling.
When I was 23, my mom passed away of lung cancer. Around the same time, I began smoking. It's just how my choices only affect me.
When I was young, my dad would smoke everywhere we went. He would smoke in the house, in the car, at his job, and even outside of my school when he would pick me up. And I remember I would beg him to stop, explaining to him how I was worried about his health. And in response, he would always tell me, "Son, your dad's a superhero. Nothing bad will ever happen to me." 15 years later, he was right. Nothing bad ever happened to him. But I was diagnosed with lung cancer after never picking up a cigarette in my life. Choosing to smoke affects everyone, not just you.
You basically knowing my ideology, basically you knowing me, knowing yours, you can support some of our programs. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
And you believe in programs like the Breakfast for Children program and pre-health clinics? Right on, brothers?
We believe they're good things.
Uh-huh.
As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
Uh-huh.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. There's no educational program here?
That's come out of the social action plan. You know, you set that up, bro. I mean, we can't put everything on one piece of paper.
What about this bank?
Credit union?
Mm-hmm.
Credit union. Credit union, my brother.
It is a bank.
Are you hip to credit unions?
It is a bank.
Yeah,
are you going and buying money?
Yeah. It's a bank. It's a bank. Owned by the people. Run for the people. And by the people.
What will money be given out to people for?
Well, the people would decide that.
You want to buy,
you know, whatever, you know, the people in the community decide.
You need some living room furniture, maybe? You need a car, maybe? See, the thing is with me, you dig, I need to know some more about it. I wish you had some more literature about the educational thing here. Because, you dig, as far as we're concerned in the struggle, the way we look at struggle is that this depends on the educational thing, you dig. Because
this depends on the education. Well, the whole thing.
No, but in the end, this does. You can form this with no education. You can form this.
No, not the way we're talking about forming it. You know, right. We're talking about forming it right. You know, it's not on the paper. We didn't write it on the paper.
No, form it right with no education.
No.
Let me give you an example. Yomo Kenyatta formed the excellent revolution with no education. And on the day to the end thing, Yomo told the motherfucker, I said, well, you know, you've been educated to hate the enemy, but I'm your brother. I helped you lead the revolution. Now I'm more oppression. Another example, Papa Doc in Haiti. Papa Doc in Haiti hated everything white. Man, you couldn't put this white paper in front of Papa Doc's face. But he moved all the white people out, and he took over and be oppressed. He did, causing no education. And the people that have been educated, they just said that we don't hate the motherfucking white people. We hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow. So we got to know your educational program to find out what is going to be in the finale. A lot of people, Yomo Kenyatta is called not a... never a revolutionary, but an ex-revolutionary. So it's Papa Doc. They brought on a successful revolution. That thing in the Mau-Mau's was a bitch. Bantu freedom fighters, all that kind of action. But what we're saying is, that it's the end. That you don't judge Castro now. You can't do it. Nobody in this room could judge whether Castro's going to be a revolutionary or not. You know what I mean? We're talking about things, you know what I mean, with China, the People's Republic, and even at the stage they're in now, talking about even going on further into a communistic state. That's what we're talking about. That was a revolutionary. So we got to understand here the educational program that you have to be able to figure out whether it will go on the right lines where the people will end up in a situation where they can be able to really control themselves. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, the people take this local foundation and start stealing money because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, you have neocolonialism instead of colonialism like you got in Africa now, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be an educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, we're so important for us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before he can consider himself a member of the party, able to even run down ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in an emotionalist movement. You understand me? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we'll have Negro imperialists.
Wake up!
Sex.
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 Sex is an uncomfortable word.
However,
it affects us all.
We're all at the age where we know at least one person that's sexually active.
We all know one story.
One story.
On unplanned pregnancy.
Wait,
isn't that what condoms are for?
Yes, condoms are great.
But they're not 100% reliable.
What about STDs?
What about STDs?
What about STDs?
What about STDs?
They're not good.
What do you got to do is go to the doctor and get rid of it, right?
Wrong.
Wrong. You're thinking about infections.
So what's the difference?
Infections you can get rid of, but diseases you
can't.
Remember the H. Remember the H.
Remember the H.
Remember the H. All STDs.
All STDs. All STDs start with H.
HIV.
Herpes.
HPV.
You don't want none of that.
Knowing your status.
Knowing your status.
Knowing your status isn't only so you can't spread the disease.
More importantly, the sooner you know, the better.
Which will save your life.
Save your life.
Save your life and someone else's.
Do you value someone else's life?
Find out before it's too late.
Find out before it's too late.
Yeah. It's way more than just sex these days. Know your status.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC. Thanks for everyone who is still tuning in live to me here on Revive, the platform today. Once again, the show is entitled STEM 360, but I do want to address a tweet that we got over the commercial break about my Fred Hampton commercial. Y'all tripping. If y'all wasn't listening to what he actually said, that means you was not paying attention, because he dropped knowledge on there. He was talking about the revolutionary education program, and that's what we're talking about right now here on Revive. Education program here on Revive STEM 360. I'm sorry I couldn't get it out because I was getting all amped up. That's exactly what he was saying, is exactly the message that we are trying to bring across right now with Revive STEM 360. Science, technology, engineering, art, and math. We're trying to bring that to you guys. We want to open you guys' perspectives up on what's actually needed out here in this world, what's actually going on out here. Educate yourselves, please. Don't downplay things that you may not know. If you actually listened, you would have definitely got educated. So maybe one day I will play that commercial back so you guys can tune in and listen to exactly what he was saying. Once again, shout out to my man Fred Hampton. Rest in peace. May your soul rest in peace. You definitely was a pioneer in the game as well. But to get back to the conversation, Bina, my question to you is, where do you see STEM now? Like, what's your perspective on STEM now?
Can you elaborate? Do you mean technologically? Do you mean specifically engineering, science, math?
What you do with science. So your part of the STEM is science. So where do you see it now?
From a student perspective, I see it becoming more diverse compared to when my parents were in school, them being the only person of color possibly in the program versus now, I'm not alone. It's growing, but it could be better. I would like to see more representation. Like they said earlier, like that is key to making a difference to our community. Like now all I have are white male professors, and it would be great to see a female professor, whether it's an adjunct or just a lab professor. It would make a difference. It would see that there are other options should I divert from the path of surgery. So it's more diverse within the student population, but I would like to see a change more within the professors and faculty.
Okay. And what kind of surgeon do you want to be exactly again?
A cardiothoracic surgeon.
Awesome. And do you see a lot of diversity within that field?
Nationally, there's only 6 certified black women that are cardiothoracic surgeons.
You said 5?
So I would like to be the 8th if possible, God willing.
Wow. I never even knew that.
Yeah, there's a lot of cardiac surgeons, but to be cardiothoracic, you deal with the entire cardiovascular system, the thoracic cavity. So everything from your collarbone on down to your navel is operation worthy. So.
Man, I hope you make it. I want you to make it. I definitely want you to beat those odds, Bina. I definitely want you to beat those odds. It's important that you beat those odds so you can bring up other young girls just like you to want to do exactly what you're doing, and you can become that mentor to change, you know, the adversity that you see going on. I appreciate you for even trying to do that, and I really hope that you kick down that door for real.
Oh, Oh, thank you, PLC. I appreciate it.
No doubt. And then when it comes to you, Bert, what do you see right now when it comes to the A in STEAM? What do you see right now? Like, what is your perspective of it right now?
I think a lot of people are still forgetting about the arts. Like, we deal in a lot of public schools, public charter schools, right here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, which is the DMV area. We were able to do some work overseas as well last summer with a trip that we took a few of our teens from D.C. all the way to South Africa, which we could probably get into a little bit in more detail, I guess, a little later. But, yeah, it seems like the arts, it's there, but it could have a more dominant role, I think, in just being a bridge. Like, I think our kids have, and when I say our kids, I mean, like, Black and brown children, we need to be taught in a different way. We have to be taught in a way that we understand, and I think it's our duty to do that. And so that's why many artists like myself, like Image, and other ambassadors through the Swaliga Foundation have taken our art and made it our priority and not really our duty to use that as a tool to educate and to bridge that gap. So I think there's still so much room. I think really you can try to control a lot of different things with these standardized tests and trying to put all these different parameters and like metrics on things, but it's kind of hard to really measure the impact of the creativity of your mind. It's like your mind is so powerful, and we have an infinite amount of potential with our mind, with the creativity of our minds. And I think the biggest thing is just a lot of young people get discouraged from pursuing careers in the arts because, oh, that you're not going to be paid. You're not going to get paid being an artist, or it's hard out here to really, you know, make a living as an artist. But I think if we can really draw the connect the dots with how art and creativity innovation is directly correlated to everything that's happening in science and technology, engineering and mathematics, like, I think that would help them realize how they can use this information and apply it to real life. I think that's the youth really value that. I mean, they can learn what they need to know in the classroom in order to take a test, to pass a test, to get a grade. But what really would impact them in the long run is, how can I take this, what I'm learning, and actually apply it to real life? And so I think the arts just allows us to be creative and innovative in the ways that we use what we're learning in the classroom and actually apply it to real life, and how we can change people's lives, impact people's lives, and, yeah, solve some real-world problems. I don't think our kids get enough of that problem solving and critical thinking and logic and reasoning in school either, which I think is a whole nother another subject, issue, right? As well, with our education system.
So I'm going to go to Image and ask Image the exact same question. So Image, you actually have the opportunity of being an engineer and also being an artist. So when it comes to both perspectives, where do you see both perspectives intertwining together, or how they can intertwine together, I should say?
Say that one more time. Which you said both perspectives being which?
An engineer and also being an artist.
Oh, definitely. I think there's a misconception, because being an engineer requires a lot of creativity. Like, engineers are basically problem solvers. I tell my students that all the time. Of all the formulas and equations that I had to remember, the main thing I learned when I was in school is the engineering design process, which is basically a way to think critically and solve a problem. And artists do the same thing. So whether we're putting together a building or putting together a song, we're trying to figure out, we're making decisions to figure out the best possible outcome. So I think there's really no separation. But what happens in school, we're taught that science and art are like opposites for whatever reason. So I'm definitely a champion for the power of the arts and using the arts to really to bridge that gap, I love the example of how we learn our ABCs, right? They don't just put it on a piece of paper in front of us and say, hey, remember this. We learned it in a song.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I think for some reason, we have a lot of art and music programs getting cut from schools. You know what I'm saying? And Bird touched on that a little bit as well. I think you're just now starting to see, with a few new initiatives and legislation that are bringing the arts back as one of the core subjects. That was a major legislation that happened recently. But I think we need to remember how powerful the arts are, not only just for learning, but for gathering different types of learners. Because in any given classroom, you have kinetic learners, you have some people that need to see it on the board, some people have to hear it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different learning styles, and what the arts does is it communicates it, the exact same information, in a different way that makes it attainable for every learner. And what happens, a lot of the learners in Black communities, we're so creative, we're so energetic, and we have different learning styles that they don't really cater to, and that arts is such a crucial piece. So last summer, Bird and I actually took a few of our students from Washington, D.C. over to South Africa for a STEAM cultural exchange trip, where we got to work with some students over there. We got to talk with some community leaders. And one of the things that instantly connected us is, again, the arts, that universal language. So young people from halfway across the world were able to vibe and talk about the type of music they like to listen to, or they like this artist because they have these lyrics, or whatever the case may be. So I think not only is the arts just a undervalued learning tool, I think in general it's a great way to communicate that our young people need. They need that outlet. They need to be able to communicate what they're going through, what they're seeing in a different way other than what they traditionally see in school.
And you make great points there. That was a great way. Next time you guys go to South Africa, I definitely want to be a part of that trip. Definitely. But Cordero, when it comes to you, in your side, you bring the technology side as well as a little bit of engineering. How do you see it today? How is it impacting today?
I think overall, most, you know, tech companies are probably at 2% of getting that goal reached, to have a diverse, high diverse number, shall I say. Right now, every company is probably like at between 1% and 3%. And this is including people outside of being Caucasian and Asian, because they make up most of the majority in these companies. But I think from a different perspective, you have more Black and Indian, I feel like, creatives out right now. You can actually walk into Starbucks and see someone working on building a UI out for an app, or you have people that are like, you have more moguls right now. Like, you have a million females that are, you know, using Instagram to increase their awareness for like hair products and all shoes and clothes, and there's so many things. Like, and if you look for the person that's behind it, it's usually like a Black female. And then you have these really creative apps that are out right now that can support you in doing everything. Like, I have an app where I can actually order someone to come and take my trash out, or come and deliver my groceries. And I think the world is just changing into overall in a space where we'll all be able to use technology and be able to be, you know, engineers like myself. I never thought in a million years that I would say, oh, at the age of, you know, 25, I was thinking about building out an app. You know, I never thought I would be in those shoes, because I never knew that I had the wit to do it or even being exposed to those types of environments. So the more we stay in the school systems, the more we encourage and engage people in using technology, it's going to continue to grow. And it may not seem like a big deal right now, but the little small programs that are in place in different recruit initiatives that are in place all across technology companies, we're going to see a major increase. Not right now, but maybe 5 to 10 years, you know, we'll have more interest in different departments of companies where you will see more people of color, and you will have more people of color in senior leadership. And that's so important to me, because when I come into a company, I don't want to see all Caucasian people in leadership, especially when it's such a diverse company like Facebook. Like, everyone in the world uses Facebook. Like, I should see a diverse amount of senior leadership, you know? And so that's something that I value when I go into an interview process, et cetera. And so as the years go on, I feel that we will be able to reach those numbers and reach those goals and look back and say, hey, we sacrificed a lot with staying committed to the process. As you said earlier, you know, it's all about the process. And so I'm learning to appreciate it day by day as I continue to make these companies successful, as well as, you know, build my own business.
And I agree with you, too. I definitely believe that there should be adversity on all spectrums, and every situation, from the S to the T to the E to the A to the M. It should definitely be diversity in all spectrums. But Bina, when it comes to you, I do understand that you are still a student, but I do also want to know accomplishment or like a goal that you have reached so far in your career.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, I just got certified as a fellow for the Atlantis Project Fellowship, which is a service and shadowing fellowship internationally. So I'll be in Portugal for the next 4 weeks from June 11th to July 8th. And I'll also be receiving MCAT prep while I'm over there. So
that was awesome. You have some voice in the background. I can't really hear you.
Also, like I was saying, I'm running for vice president of my MAPS chapter. For those who aren't familiar, MAPS is the Undergraduate Pre-Medical Association for minority students. So those that are intending to go into medical school or a professional school of any sort, it's good to have MAPS on your application, especially for leadership skills. And I'll be a senator for my Student Government Association for the upcoming 2017-2018 school year.
Congratulations on that one. That's awesome. Just to say, yo, I'm about to go travel and do what I love. That's extremely awesome. That's, especially still being a student, that is extremely exciting, because once you leave college, it's the real world. So big ups to you, totally, Bina. Big ups to you, totally. You're doing big things at your university. And Bert, when it comes to you, what's one thing that you have done in your career field that is an accomplishment or a goal that you kicked down the door, you know, to be the person you are today in the STEM field? Well, your case is STEAM.
Say that. Hold on. Sorry. Say that one more time.
I was saying in your case is STEAM, because I said STEM, but you bring that A to it. So in your case, what is one goal or one accomplishment that you have had in your career so far?
I think one of the biggest accomplishments that I've had in my career so far was, you know, getting those stamps on that passport and taking those young people across the, across the water, you know, back to the motherland to connect with other young people who really look up to them and vice versa, and have that cultural exchange to be able to spread the arts, to be able to spread STEM and the arts, and just to draw parallels between, you know, our worlds, which, you know, society, the media, you know, the powers that be kind of try to divide us when it comes to, like, painting these different pictures of what life is like over there and their idea of what it's like being, you know, an American citizen. And so I think bridging that gap between our young people in America and then the young people over in South Africa, I think was remarkable. And like I said, that's a huge shout out to the Swaliga Foundation for creating this program. And yeah, for just allowing us to know, like, science is art. Science is art. Art is science. It's all hand in hand. It uses, you know, the left brain, the right brain, the same types of chemical reactions that you're getting when you're figuring out a math equation is the same type of chemical reaction that you're having when you're counting measures in a beat. When you're that 3-4 time or that 4-4 time. I mean, that's math. That's fractions. That's that's science. When you're talking about sound waves and you're talking about engineering and mixing music, when you're talking about building, you know, creating a concept of light for a person who lives without electricity, and the solving those real world problems. And so I think bridging those gaps between you know, the life that we live over here and the access that we have to this type of technology and, you know, being able to make that a possibility and a reality for, you know, our brothers and sisters over in South Africa, I think is amazing. So I think that's been the greatest accomplishment. And really, it's just getting started. So we have a campaign that's live right now on Swaliga's website, swaligafoundation.org, where you can check out video and music that we created while we were in South Africa last summer. And it can give you a sneak peek into, or really a snapshot into exactly what we do and how you can support this upcoming trip that we have this summer, where we're going to be doing a cultural exchange, another cultural exchange trip to South Africa from Washington, D.C., where we're going to be doing a science and engineering project where we're going to be providing light for hundreds of families over in Cape Town, South Africa. So I think, you know, the best is yet to come. It's the 50K. If you search the hashtag 50K by May, or if you just go to SwaligaFoundation.org, you can find out more about how you can support the movement that we have right now with the STEM and arts education.
Definitely. Revival is definitely going to support you guys over there at the Swaliga Foundation. We're tweeting that hashtag out right now and mentioning you guys in it, so everyone of my followers and listeners can definitely know where to check that out as well. But Cordell, when it comes to you, what would you say one accomplishment or goal that you have made in your career so far that stands out to you?
Wow. I've had a lot of very exciting moments in my career in such a short period. But I would say the most impactful goal that I accomplished was creating an actual platform for students to be able to find jobs faster in the tech world. And the product is actually being created right now. We probably launch it in the fall. Just a space separate on Indeed.com where students will be able to just go directly there and find all of the jobs that are sort of kind of in their field. But it'll also be a space for them to like reach out to alumni as well as any other types of connections they may have to a company or their university so that they can receive some type of information or insight into the team at that company or how the interview process goes. So I'm very excited about that. The second thing would definitely be my app. creating this new avenue for students to find jobs faster post-college has always been a goal of mine, and to accomplish it with such a powerful company is truly a blessing, especially to be a minority, and I'm super excited about it. And if and when it is released in the fall, I will be able to give you more insight about that.
And that actually sounds awesome as well, because we actually need that. Coming out of college, that is one of the hardest things that, you know, college students face is, what's next? Like, am I going to get a job? You know what I mean? How am I going to find this job? Now I'm $60,000 in debt, and the student loan people are already calling me. So shout out to you, Cordero. I really hope that takes off for you and also Indeed. But you, Image, as well, what is one thing that you would say a goal or an accomplishment that you have made so far in your career?
Oh, man. Hard to choose. I would definitely say I think taking those young people over to South Africa, I think Bird touched on that a lot. But that was definitely a life-changing experience. I just want to comment on, I don't think that the people in the Black community travel enough. I think for whatever reason, there's a stigma attached to traveling. But, I mean, I encourage everybody, every chance I get, to travel as much as you can. That's probably when you do the most learning, is when you go to a new place. But if I had to pick an individual goal, I would have to say dropping my first album, the Melanin King Project. That was definitely a labor of love. We worked really hard on it, worked on a short film for the project for over 2 years with Barbara Jean Productions. Taylor Cruz directed it. It was definitely a labor of love. And going through that process of actually completing the album, producing tracks on it, recording it, involving some of the young people that I work with, and then going to actually releasing it and pushing the project and hearing mothers tell me, like, oh, thank you for for making this music. Like, I play it for my son. Homies that I have that listen to the tape that tell me that it keeps them motivated, that they pop it in the morning. It definitely is motivation for me to continue to make more music. That's why I do it. You know what I'm saying? This is all clean music that anybody can listen to. I play this music in my class. I play it when I'm riding in a car with my friends. You know what I'm saying? This is music that crosses generations and really speaks positivity, because I feel like that's what we need more of right now. I use music as a weapon. So when people tell me that it encourages them or it inspires them in any way, that's definitely motivation for me to keep following my passion and making more music.
And keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing, because everything that you're doing is working for you. But I do have one last question for all the guests out here today, because we do have to wrap up this conversation. And after you finish answering the question, I do also want each and every one of you guys to showcase yourself. Make sure you tell them where they can follow you, your individual websites, anything like that, so we can continue to support each and every one of you and everything that you're doing out here for the different communities. Cordell, I'm going to start with you. What is one sentence, mantra, or quote that you will tell the next generation?
Wow. be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I like that
because
one.
Because being uncomfortable is going to get you exactly where you should be, not where you want to be, but where you should be in life. So be uncomfortable. Be comfortable being uncomfortable, shall I say. And if you'd like to follow me, my journey, you can add me on LinkedIn. I'm at Cordero Davis. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at SouthernGen23. If you'd like to email me, my email is cordero@indeed.com. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. I'm extremely excited that you were a participant on the show tonight. I really do appreciate you coming on to Revive and just pretty much dropping some jewels and some knowledge and giving us your outlook and your perspective. So thank you once again. And I love what you said when you said be uncomfortable. Like, you have to be uncomfortable in order to get where you're going. But I just got a tweet as well saying, can he reiterate his email? So can you give that email back to the people, please?
It's Cordero@indeed.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Cordero. I really do appreciate you. I am going to stay in touch with you as well and continue to network through you, and I appreciate you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Have a good week.
You too. Bye.
And Bird, when it comes to you, what's one quote, one mantra, or one sentence that you will tell the next generation?
Man, this is a tough one. but I would probably say, find your passion, walk in your purpose. Like, don't be afraid to take chances and figure out who you are and what you want to become. And once you tune into that, once you tune into your higher purpose and you get that message from, you know, from that crown chakra on down, it pretty much aligns you in perfect alignment. So I guess, I don't know, thy will be done. Like, submit your desires to do what the Creator put you on this earth to do. Just align yourself with that purpose and walk in your purpose every day and do it fearlessly. I think once you figure that out, you'll start to attract the people, the places, the things that you need to continue to be great. So just be who you are 100,000% of the time, and you'll automatically attract like-minded individuals. And once y'all team up, it's like it's morphin' time. You know what I'm saying? it can be five or six of y'all, and y'all team up, and you combine that energy, and it can be a force that can't be stopped. So,
agree. But definitely mention to the people where they can find you, where they can check out your album you just dropped last week, your social media sites, and all that good stuff.
That's a bet. So you can definitely download my project right now. If you visit, my social media is Bird Music DC. So that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Bird with a Y, Bird Music DC. You can go to birdmusic.tv is my website. And you can search me on Bandcamp, benewbird.bandcamp.com.
Awesome. And we're definitely putting that on Twitter as well. So the people can definitely make sure they tune in and definitely go support this young lady right here who is trying to do something with her knowledge and putting it on, you know, on a beat and pretty much giving you guys something to listen to bump to get your conscious mind flowing. So Bird, I definitely thank you for joining the Revive show today. You were definitely an impact on the show today and I appreciate you. And I'm definitely want to continue to network with you as well. And once again, just thank you for coming onto the show today.
Likewise, and I reciprocate that same sentiment. Thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And Bina, when it comes to you, what is one thing that you will tell the next generation of scientists? What was one mantra, one quote, one sentence? What would be one thing that you would tell them?
Oh, man, they just dropped some gems. I don't even know. Excuse my French, but like, write your shit down all the time. Like,
true.
I don't care if it's in the planner. I don't care if it's on the scrap of paper that you carry with you. Like, make yourself accountable. Like, we keep talking about the law of attraction. It's cool to ask for it and believe in it. But when you write it down and you hold yourself accountable, that means you go and put in that effort. That means everything that you're aspiring to do, you're willing to work for. You're not just receiving just because you think you deserve it or it's granted. Like, that's not how it works. That's not the law of attraction. That's not how principality, no matter what deity you serve, it doesn't work that way. So, like, write your life down. Write what you intend on becoming, everything from the biggest to the littlest thing. Like, they all matter, especially if it's your vision, your purpose. So
I agree with you on that, because once you see it, you start to manifest it. So I definitely agree with what you said. No, I really do agree with what you just said. That made a whole lot of sense to me. And I hope everyone picked that one up who's listening as well, because she definitely just dropped some jewels for you as well. But definitely go out here and tell the people, you know, where they can follow you on your journey of becoming a great scientist that you will become.
Hey, okay. My handle for everything is @_hambina. That's _HAM as in Mary, B as in boy, N as in Nancy, A.
And Bina, we at Revive wish you extreme blessings in everything that you are doing. We want you to succeed. We want you to kick down those doors. We want you to be that eighth. You hear me? So keep doing what you're doing. And True Heart also wanted to say something to you as well.
Shout out to you for shouting out higher level communication. I'm glad the daily affirmations helped you in your journey. So when you make it big, don't forget about the little people like myself.
Not little, but definitely matters.
Thank you once again, Bina, for being on the show. We really do appreciate you coming on to Revive
today.
Thank
you, DLC. Have a good one.
You too. And last but not least, we have Image as well. So Image, when it comes to you, what will be one thing that you will tell the next generation, your one mantra, one quote, one phrase, one sentence, what will be one thing that you will leave for them?
So many great things were said. I would say my mantra is definitely know your purpose. I mean, that really falls in line with everything else that was said. I mean, find your passion is a big one. Spread love, get love is another one that I tell them all the time. And then the same energy that you put out, that's what you get back. So they got to be aware of that. And that comes back to knowing your purpose. You know what I'm saying? When you're walking in your purpose, then you're able to to see exactly the choices that you need to make. So I think that's one of the big things that we try to do with the music, with STEAM education, is to really exemplify that for younger people, you know what I'm saying, and help them remember that even if you don't know your purpose already, when you start to hang around other people that know their purpose and that are walking in it, that are following their passion, as Bird mentioned, you attract those types of things to yourself as well, and that helps you get that much closer to finding your purpose. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Like, we talk to younger people, but it's people older than us that are still working and trying to find their purpose. And that's okay, because we're always learning and growing every day. Mm-hmm. So I tell them that. And I think that's one of the most important things that you can do.
Find your purpose. I agree with you as well. But definitely let the people know where they can find you. They can find more about your program that you're doing, as well as this $50K you guys are trying to raise, you know, to get these kids to Africa this summer. So let the people know.
Definitely. So you can connect with me at Image Music. That's IMAG music. I'm mostly on Instagram. The website is thisisimage.tv. This is IMAG.tv. You can also get the Melanin King Project on there. And follow the tribe, man. Follow us at Tribe Swaliga, TRIBESWALIGA. Tribe Swaliga, 50K by May is the mission. We're taking young people from D.C. to South Africa to do STEAM workshops to connect with the culture over there. And again, as Bird said, to provide light for families. So we're doing an engineering service project. We're doing a lot of things with education, and we really need everybody's support. So if you could check out Tribe Swaliga and even visit us at SwaligaFoundation.org. Look forward to connecting with everyone. And thank you again for having me. Thank you for the platform, PMC. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you for coming onto the show as well. You definitely dropped a lot of jewels and a lot of knowledge for these young people out here today. But how can the people donate or invest into this 50K? Once you just get onto the website, theswaliga.org, it will be a button there that we can click to invest. How do we support you guys?
Definitely. That's the first thing you see. When you go to SwaligaFoundation.org, that's SwaligaFoundation, SwaligaFoundation.org is the first thing you see. You'll see the Quite Frankly video. We just dropped new music, me and the Banu Bird. That joint is hot, and it has video footage from our trip last year when we went to South Africa. And there's a donate button right there. There's information about the trip, what we're going to be doing. Our mission is there. You can definitely get most of the information at SwaligaFoundation.org.
Awesome. I thank you for that as well. And we here at Revive are definitely going to support you on everything that you're doing. We're definitely going to drop some money in that pot for the 50K because we over here at Revive, we support the youth. So we want to continue to support people who support the youth to make sure that they're out here getting educated. So I thank you for the work that you're doing. And I hope you continue to do the work that you're doing. And I hope that God continues to bless over you and everything that you're doing as well. I thank you once again, Image, for coming onto the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings.
Have a good one. And that wraps up another great conversation here on Revive. Once again, today's show was entitled STEM 360. I'm sorry. I'm so caught up in the conversation, excited that we just had a great conversation because each and every one of them who brought a perspective to the show today opened my eyes up to a lot of different things that I didn't necessarily know. So I thank each and every one of them for coming on. Once again, we had Bina, we had Cordero, we had Bert, and we had Image. We had a jam-packed show for you guys today. So I do appreciate everyone who stayed around to listen to what we brought here to the platform today. It's really important that we continue to bring up these conversations to open up you guys' mindset on what's actually going on out here. We have to look above and beyond because it's so much more out here than these social media platforms, these video games, these TVs, things like that. Here on Revive, you don't hear any fake news. We want to educate you guys. So make sure you guys continue to spread the word that you can listen to Revive every Sunday and also every Wednesday. On Sundays, we start 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You can listen to me, your girl POC, live at timeforawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to the TuneIn app or tunein.com and just search Time for an Awakening and you will hear me live. And once again, yes, we do have a Facebook. So you can now follow us on Facebook at Revive_POC and also on Twitter at Revive_POC. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for sticking around and listening once again. It's your girl POC. You know what time it is. I'll be back on the air live in full effect on Sunday. So stay tuned. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody. I really do appreciate it. Stay blessed. It's your girl POC. Hey!